Let's open our Bibles. We're going to the last letter of the series by John. And that's the third epistle of John. And I'll warn you tonight, this might be a little letter, but it's packed with all sorts of power. So I pray that we're not just thinking we're going to rush through this, because I believe that there's at least 2 weeks that we could spend on this. And I'm going to tell you something, you could spend lifetime after lifetime in this, and I mean that very sincerely, but there's a lot of power packed in this one little letter. And I think what has just caught my heart this week was thinking about this journey through these three epistles, and how it started in that precious first letter, as it said, the Father to the little children. And the emphasis, I think, of that whole first letter is so wrapped up in that statement, now are we the sons of God. The realization of who we are, what we have. Now are we the sons of God. You know, that wakes you up. I remember Mom sometimes when I was fiddling around in faith or fiddling around in things I shouldn't have been fiddling around. And she'd say, pop her head around the corner, now are we the sons of God. Oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that. But it hit me just like a dart in the heart. And it would just get me going and say, thank you, Jesus. Settle me down. That's who I am. Quit trying to be all these other things. Now I'm a son of God. Thank you, Jesus. But then we went a little bit further. It drilled down a little bit further, I should say. In 2 John, that letter comes to the elect lady. And we saw that that was a special group that were walking in the truth, it said. And it was so precious how through that letter it encouraged those believers to go on, to not fall back, but to finish their race course with joy, and to finish specifically with a full reward. And I believe that that so appropriately brings us to this last letter. And the last letter, may I say, by the grace of God, it is the full joy letter. And it's not written to any group. It's not written to any persons. It's written to one person. And this brother's name was Gaius. And it just so happens that Gaius means a rejoicer. Isn't that precious? It means a rejoicer. And how perfectly fitting, because the winner of the race, brothers and sisters, will always be a rejoicer. It was said in the man that was after the very heart of God, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's no excuse. I know that there are things that come our way. I know that there are trials that are beyond our strength. That's what a trial really is. And I know that there's the trials that are in the deep depths of the furnace. There are trials that are in the valley of the shadow of death. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I praise the Lord. And I do get a little broken up, because the family's going through some things right now that are very hard. There's saints and their families that are going through things that are very, very hard. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's coming, brothers and sisters. It's coming, and it's coming so quickly. And that is where we are seated. We're seated in the heavens in Christ. So praise God for that wonderful encouragement. But see, it's not going to be a murmurer that wins his best. It's not going to be a complainer that wins his best. It's going to be the rejoicer. And just as Brother Paul, so sweetly was that testimony. There he was, after he had lived by the grace of God so many years, giving his life for the truth, giving his life for others, for the knowledge of the truth, for the grace of God. But he realized that wasn't himself, that was just the grace of God. But there he was at the end, in that dirty, stinking, rotten prison, despised, all in Asia have forsaken me. Now, if there was someone that might, a little bit, have a right to complain, the right to be a little bit bitter, maybe a little bit angry, but yet he allowed the Spirit to come in the greatest of ways, and it was right there that he wrote the joy book of the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? Are you in the throngs of a trial right now that has you despairing of your life? You know what? It's time to get the pen out and write the joy book of the Bible in your life. And it really is, brothers and sisters. This was the man that lived that life and said, hey, look, there's a crown for you too. But are you loving his appearing? And that's where it is. And that's what God has called us to. But as I've said this many times before, as we read this wonderful letter, can you write your name in here? Is this letter to you? I pray to God it is. Is this you? Is this me? Because I'm going to tell you something. We need this heart of Gaius because it is the heart that is needed to win God's very best. Let's go ahead with verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now here we have again John, the elder. See, he's senior at this time. He has experience, and by the grace of God, he's been growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And notice here, it isn't just beloved Gaius, it's well beloved. Much, much loved. This is exceeding abundant above all love, whom I love in the truth. And I love that, because loving in the truth is the love of God. See, when we love one another in the truth, we will love. When we love one another outside of the truth, that love will end. It will fail. It will discourage. But the love of God endures. It lasts. It's long-suffering. It's all of those things that our precious 1 Corinthians 13 tells us exactly what it is. And I'm going to tell you something. This brother had it, and he had it from John toward him as well too. And you notice here that loving in the truth is the greatest and the only love that there really is. But as we get going here with this wonderful brother Gaius, we don't know for certain. A lot of people try to claim that, well, we know exactly. We do not know for certain if this was the same Gaius who traveled with Paul in Acts 19, 29 or 20, verse 4. But I will say that the love of the truth and the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that message was present in both of these, whether they were the same man or not. And I don't want to get into a big argument to say, well, was it the same man or not? Because I'm going to rejoice in the spirit man that was in both. And let me tell you something, by the grace of God, it is going to be that man that all of us should hope to be. And that's that man of God. And you see, as I was thinking about this, there are many that can preach a sermon. There's many that can preach a sermon, but there's very few that can live a sermon. There really are, if you really think about that. And this Gaius who suffered in Acts, or the Gaius who walked so evidently in the Spirit in John, as we're going to read here, they both lived the sermon. And what I mean by that is they walked the walk. It wasn't just talk. It wasn't just a knowledge. It wasn't just something in the head. They walked the walk. And so whether they were the same man or whether they were two different ones, they were the same in Christ. And that's what counts here. So praise be to God. All right, verse 2 goes on to say, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, First of all, I am so encouraged again that it's much loved. See, there's just much love going on. These brothers loved. And it is interesting to me sometimes you'll hear folks come in for a while and they say, well, it seems like all you talk about is love. Well, how could you talk about Jesus and not talk about love? Because that's what Jesus is he's love. God is love. And it is love, and this whole thing is a love match. And by the grace of God, the only way we're ever going to grow up is in grace. And that is the undeserved love of God. And that's what's going to get it done. But it is so wonderful here that he says much love. But first off the bat, I'd like to say here about this word wish. You know, growing up, I really never cared much for the word wish. It is always, you know, kind of be prayerful. But if there was ever a word that we should covet, it is this wish. Because this word wish means to pray to God. That's what this means. It means to pray to God. So what he's saying here is, I pray to God above all things. So this is something that's mighty important here, because he's saying, I pray to God above all things, and here it goes. And I want you to listen to this, because this is one of the most misused portions of Scripture, brothers and sisters, in the entire Bible. Many of the greatest and largest grandiose Christian churches are based upon the misinterpretation of this verse. Prosper and be in health. And it's everywhere. You can't help but turn on your TV on any of the religious stations for more than pretty much 30 seconds and not hear the emphasis of prosper and be in health. You hear it all the time, and I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing that's consistent about it. It's poisonous food to a Christian. It's poison. What John is saying here, brothers and sisters, is, beloved, above all, I pray to God that you may prosper in your journey. That you may prosper in your journey and live in sound doctrine. Sound doctrine as your soul prospers. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Now, let's talk about this. See, monetary wealth has nothing to do with the meaning of this verse. If monetary wealth were any indication of spiritual prosperity, the Apostle Paul would have been the biggest failure in the Word of God. Well, I'll even take, besides that, he'd been the biggest failure, period. But we know that that is absolutely to the contrary. It's a complete opposite, because the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, is the one whom we follow as he followed Christ Jesus. And yet, is it ironic that that was the one that wound up with absolutely nothing of this world in a prison? All in Asia have forsaken me. And he's begging these brothers to get boldness. You know, bring me a coat, it's awful cold. But you know what, if you forget the coat, that's okay. Just don't forget the Word of God. And he had it all. Only one I read about that says, hey, I'm ready to be offered. Isn't that awesome? I'm ready to be offered. Praise the Lord. What witness. What a life of God. But some proof of this, brothers and sisters, is in Romans chapter 1, verse 10. I'll just have you note that and I'll read that for you. But in the Greek, it's the same word that is spoken by Paul of a prosperous journey that we read in this verse. And in Romans 1:10, it said, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And that's exactly what this is, intent is the prosperous journey is not talking about health. It's not talking about wealth in the sense of this world. It's talking all about the Spirit and, praise God, spiritual things, because we understand that spiritual gain is the quest. We're not laying up riches here. If we're laying up riches here, it's all going to burn anyways. It's going to be gone. The Word of God tells us that. We're supposed to lay our riches up over there, where he's got them, where moth can't get them, where the thief can't rob them, where the rust doesn't get to it. But by the grace of God, it's all taken care of. That's why we can forget those things which are behind, even our accomplishments and successes in the Word of God, because you know who's got them? He's got them. And praise the Lord, they're a blessing to me, but he's got them. And now it's time to move on. Lord, you're taking me through, and praise God for that. But see, brothers and sisters, to contort the Scripture and other Scriptures for earthly gain is wickedness. And it's wickedness to satisfy a belly, and it's the devil's tool to get God's children off track, and especially off track of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We do need to be careful what we hear. We do need to be very aware of what we're feeding on, brothers and sisters. It's vital. It's very vital. I appreciated being reminded again on Sunday. If you take that child and you feed it right, it'll grow. If you take a child and you malnourish it, it's not going to grow right. There's going to be things that are wrong. They're going to be weak in certain places. They're going to get sick. And that's the same way it is with God's children. They need to feast and feast upon the meat of the Word of God. So let's be mindful of that. And as we go on here in verses 3 and 4, I do want to make note right now. John's not going to joy in how wealthy Gaius is. He's not going to rejoice in how healthy this brother is. What he's going to say here very quickly is that he rejoices in the truth that is in this brother, and he's rejoicing that he's walking in the truth. So I think it's very obvious that this is all about the Word of God, and it's not anything about what this world can offer us. Let's go on to verse 3. For I greatly... I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now, we did read of the elect lady in the second letter, and she walked in the truth. And that's so wonderful. But this brother not only walked in the truth, he lived the testimony of the Word of God. It was truly written upon his heart, and people saw it. As thinking in this is, he fulfilled, if you remember, 1 John 3:18. And in 1 John 3:18, it's something that little children can never do. But this brother fulfilled it because he went on and he grew up into the things of God. And here's what 1 John 3:18 says. Don't just love in word, neither in tongue, but this brother he loved in deed and in truth. And there's a big difference, and the big difference is testimony. And testimony, brothers and sisters, is vital. It's absolutely vital. People observe us. They see us. And actually, when people know that you're a Christian, they're going to try to be even more critical of you. See, the enemy's going to try to get in there and to say, oh, look what that Christian did. Man, I haven't seen sinners do things like that. Now let me tell you something. It's all by the grace of God. But we do need to be aware. What is this life speaking? Does it speak of the Lord? Am I consumed in the things of God? Is the love of God living and alive in my life? That's the grace of God. Does it show? Do I take time by His grace to give out love? What do you think? I'm not talking about going to serve at soup kitchens or building houses for humanity. That's all good. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about truth in love. I'm talking about, by the grace of God, to make a stand. When it's not popular. When it might cost me my job. Where it might cost me even being ostracized by my own family. Come on now. That's the love of God. Amen. And that's testimony. And it's not testimony to, oh, look at how much of a Christian or how much I know of the love of God. That's not a testimony at all. A testimony is humility. A testimony is to become lowly. And a testimony, by the grace of God, is to give out His word in only one way, and that's in love. In love, brothers and sisters. But a love always stands. The love of God always stands. So you see that this sweet brother, he stood out there in sheer beauty. And every time I think of sheer beauty, I have to think of Esther. I think how she just stood out there and she said, well, you know what? I know I'm not supposed to come right now, but I gotta go because the calling's right now. And it might not be right to everybody else. But you know what? The Holy Spirit has got me ready to go. And I'm going to believe that this is where I need to be at this moment. And what was so precious was he was ravished. Ravished so much, it's all yours, honey. Whatever you say, just go ahead and do. That's good enough with me. See, my wife's not here tonight. And she knows that there's times that are like that. That she can come on in there and, whatever you want, honey. It's just grand. Isn't that wonderful? I just thrill to think that God has given us this opportunity to shine like that. To be a light like that. To truly be a sun glory light. I mean, where people know by the grace of God. As the brother said, well, I just didn't know her name, but I wrote down Jesus Lady. That's okay with me. Praise God. Well, Brother Copley used to say it this way, immersed. And I'm so thankful that Brother Hawkins brings that out so many times. Being immersed. Immersed in the Word of God. You know, we're being cleansed tonight. Praise the Lord. Sanctified. Closer, taken more away from the things of this world and more into the bosom of Him. I'm so grateful to God. But as he would say, every step ordered, every step in tune, complete and perfect in all the will of God. That's for you. That wasn't just about somebody we read about in here. That's for you. God has that plan for you. And as we rejoiced on Sunday, the only way we're going to get there is to realize Romans 8:1. I'm free. I mean, I'm free. I'm clean. I'm justified. I'm accepted in the Beloved. And I'm favored. Now, this is God we're talking about. And this is what His Word tells us. So now the question is, are we going to believe it? We'll start believing that by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to shine. And you're going to shine like never before. Praise His name. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I love this brother John. He just, you know, he encourages. He just is an encouraging vessel. And I'm so grateful to God. He wasn't just, you know, pouring water on a flame or anything. He was stoking the flame. He's encouraging. Said, man, you know what? You love God and it's sincere. And I'm not stroking you. I'm telling you that the grace of God is awesome. It's wonderful. And thank you, brother, for being a testimony of the love of God. Let's not be shy to say that kind of stuff one to another. In sincerity, when it's due, but praise God that this brother saw it. What a sweet saint this man is. But see, the greatest joy that he said was the love of God that was in this life, that he was walking in the truth. That was the joy to Brother John. That's the evidence of what a pastor heart that this brother had and God developed in him. And then this truth that was evident in Gaius. And see, it wasn't that he saw it either. I think that's what's so important about this. You see what it says there? I have no greater joy than to hear. See, he heard it. He knew the testimony was true. And I got to thinking, what are we trying to hear about others? Now, what are we trying to hear about others? Is it the good report, as the Word of God tells us? Is it the true? Is it the lovely? Or is it the next juicy bit of gossip? Brothers and sisters, let us not be like the world that is just waiting for the failure to happen. Let's put him up there and let's see how fast he's going to fail. Rejoicing in failure more than even success. And that's exactly how it is anymore. It's becoming a tearing down thing. Edify, brothers and sisters. You know what edify means? Spiritually building up. Ye that are spiritual, restore. Come on now. And that's by the grace of God what He's given us. And that's what we need to be in tune with by His grace. Is God, help us to be a gleaner, but a gleaner of glory. By the grace of God, I want to glean that glory. What do you think, huh? Yeah. I want gold, silver, and precious stone in my hand. I don't want that other stuff. I don't want filthy rags there. I don't want the dung. I don't want any of that stuff that's out there. I want what's forever. What God has. And praise God, it is that eternal life. All right, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. I read that verse and I think consistency. Amen. Consistency. Isn't that something? And I'm going to tell you something. A full overcomer possesses consistent love. It's not there some days and gone the next. Not when I feel like it. Not when I'm just with a particular group of people. Right. To brethren and strangers. Yeah. Full overcomer time, brothers and sisters. That's exactly what this letter is. And don't be fooled that it's so small or it was, you know, kind of jammed in there lately in the back of the Bible. It's very, 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 very important. This is not hypocritical love. This brother loved without dissimulation. And as we spoke about dissimulation, One of the meanings of that is it's not play acting. It's real. It's what it is. It's not something that's made up. And see, only God can bring that. It just is. It's just, but I'm going to tell you something. It's just who you are. If you're a Christian, you have that life. If you're a Christian, you have that love. If it's not operating through you, it's because you're preventing it. You're preventing it from pouring forth. It's there. You don't have to go try to find it. God has given you that. He gave you His Son's very life. And let me tell you something. His Son's very life is nothing but love. And it's there. And there's no excuse for it not to come out. But how does it grow? It grows in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It grows up to be a mighty man of God. It's bold. And it's not bold in us. It's not bold in my knowledge. It's bold in His love. And that's what I'm finding, which is so beautiful. I'm thankful for the things that the Holy Spirit has taught me. But what the Holy Spirit teaches is the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. And that's what makes it real. That's what brings it out. That's what gives it the anointing, is the love of God. Without love, it profits nothing. I could sit here, I could read you the Word, I could tell you these things. But if the love of God's not in it, it's not going to hit home. Given or received. Do you understand that? Given or received. Break up the fallow ground. Praise be to God. All right. This brother didn't act the part of a Christian. He lived, as we said on Sunday, he lived Christ in me. And that was the evidence of the love of God, was that Christ in me. Consistent testimony is vital. To whom much is given, much is required. And let me tell you something, everybody in here, much is given. Much is given. Don't you try to slide back there. Don't try to get behind somebody else. Oh no. Much is given and much is required, brothers and sisters. And it's right out there. And if anything, I'll tell you something. I was thinking about this love and this testimony. I would hope, by the grace of God, that you love and show love more in your own home than you even do here in this meeting. Did you hear me right? I hope you heard me right. I would hope that you would do that because, brothers and sisters, that's where you spend your life. It's in your home. It's at your work. That's where God has you spending that time. I'm talking about consistency. Sometimes it's easy to come in here. We're around the people of God. It's mighty. The Spirit's thick. How could we not just roll around and enjoy and swim in the love of God? Huh? Amen. But what about home? Huh, ladies? My husband hits the door and he's had another bad day at work. Game on. Let's go, honey. You think you had a bad day? I'm going to beat a worse one into you, huh? Now, how do I know that? I don't know. But where I'm going with this, brothers and sisters, is truly, who are we? And I'm telling you, when the love of God works mightily in our homes, it's going to even be more mighty here. And when it's working mightily at your work, it's going to be even more mightily in your home. And then it's going to be more mightily in the church. It doesn't just turn on. It is. It's who we are. And by the grace of God, may we yield to who we are. Because the consistency in that love, that is the sign of the true worshiper. And it is, brothers and sisters. So, you know, I think that as I read that verse, you know, we can never love enough. We can't. There's always more. That wineskin, I'm so grateful to God of it. It just keeps expanding. And it's uncomfortable and it's stretched. Got a little break. But the next day, you know what? We're going to pour more in there. Let's get her going. And there expands again. That's how we are. And it's getting to the point where we're about to burst. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. And it is. And that's going to be the time we're going to see Him face to face. And that's why we truly do need to be continually in prayer. One of the sweetest things I have to tell you is my son came to me after his class on Sunday, and I appreciated it so much. He said, "You know, Dad, it is so important to continue to bring your request to God." And I looked over there and I said, "Now who are you again?" That was my son. And there wasn't anything that could have thrilled me anymore. And I said, "Honey, that's right." And I said, "God hears us." And I love to bring it before the Lord. And you know what? I'll pray about something twice. You know, I'll pray about something 10 times. Sometimes I'm just praying about something all day long and it becomes the same thing. Now, did God hear it the first time? Sure He did. Did God even know it before I even ever thought it? Sure He did. So what am I doing that for? For me. For me. Because it gives me peace. I'm talking to God. I know He hears me. God, I know You know it. But we're going to go talk about this some more. Because I need peace. Isn't that precious how we can bring it before Him? Now, I'm learning to lay it there and we leave it there, and I understand that. But there's times my heart's crying out, and I'm crying to from the ends of the earth, saying, "Lord, I need Your help. I need Your help." So let's not be bashful about those things. All right. Verse 6. "Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." Now, I love this because this is the continuing on of his testimony. And you really see that the only thing we can ever be a testimony or a witness of is the love of God. Because again, that's how it's real. It needs to be in love. What Jesus did for me. I think about the testimonies that we have on a Sunday. What Jesus did for me. What Jesus is doing in me. And it's profitable because it's done in the love of God. His love. Because, as we said earlier, God is love. And that's what His truth is it's love. And that's what we are called to speak, is His truth in love. So we always go back to love, and always go back to love. And brothers and sisters, as we see right here, it's to brethren as well as strangers. You've heard me say this before. The Lord really, it just hit me. He finally caused me to see souls. Don't see people anymore. Really don't. I see souls. And you know what? When you see souls, you can't help but love them. Because I see that soul, and my Savior died for that person. And my Savior died for that person. And that person, and that person, and everybody for the sins of the world. That's how valuable that soul was to God. Now, when God brings us to that place, it's precious because we love. And we love Him. Because we love with His love. And this is where He's bringing us, as we see that. See, sometimes it's easy to love the brethren. It's easy to love the ones we know. Sometimes it's hard to love the brethren. I understand that too. As a certain sister keeps reminding me, "Well, there's some of us that are a little more difficult to love than others." But you know, really, in the sight of the Lord, no. Just seeing souls. All vessels. Really. You're His vessels. You got a special purpose. You got a special purpose. God formed a path for you before He set a star in heaven. I mean, come on. That's how special and precious we are. Each life is to God. I like to think about that kind of stuff. I'm not getting mushy. I'm just telling you, that's how it is. That's how important this is. But what's real powerful is not just when we love the brethren, but what's powerful is when we love strangers. Really is. You know the power when somebody comes into the meeting? Haven't been here before. And I'm not talking about where we just swamp them to say, "Hey, great, good to see, how you doing? Thank you for coming to church. Thank you for taking the time to come to church." I'm saying that to you right now. by the grace of God, thank you for responding. Thank you for responding to the love call of our Heavenly Father. How awesome. How awesome. You talk about a triumph. You talk about heaven singing. You talk about something important. God is saying to the Son, and the Son saying to the Father, look at them tonight. They're rejoicing in you, Son. They're glorying in you, giving glory to me. That's how awesome this moment is. I think about that stuff. That's when I have to raise up my hands and say, oh Lord, you got to take this. But see, it was these same brethren and these same strangers that brought the report back to John. The good report about this brother Gaius. Told him about his love. And then John encourages this brother again. Hey, there's going to be some more journeys. There's going to be some more evangelical trips. You continue on with that hospitality, man. You don't realize how mighty this is. You can't believe the reports that are coming back to me and how excited people are about the love of God in you. You think Brother Gaius may have sat back there and hadn't heard from a lot of people. Maybe sat there and thought, boy, I hope they were blessed. Thank you, Jesus, for brothers like John that took the time to tell that brother, thanks be to God for the grace of God in you. Let us take that time. Let us take that time one for another. All right, verse 7. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Now, for his name's sake. Now see, John is saying something here that was revealed. That Gaius, see, he didn't just support any stranger. He didn't just support anybody who came that said that he loved Jesus or was preaching Jesus. But the brethren and strangers that had a reputation of preaching the authority of Jesus Christ. There's a difference here. Just as our encouragement is today to preach the full counsel of God. Amen? Part of it or the full counsel of God? The whole counsel of God. All of it. That's the calling. And I'll tell you what, I do despair and I get a little bit discouraged and shudder sometimes even to hear of people that should know better, and I'm talking about Christians, who support preachers that spew forth unsound doctrine. And I am going to say that. I'm tired of it, brothers and sisters. We have to treasure and know what we have. And I'm talking about people where they're preaching kingdom age stuff right now. Go out and save the world. Let me tell you something. That will hurt you. That hurts God's precious people. It confuses them. How about different ones that say, well, he's preaching the Lord. Yeah, but he doesn't preach eternal security. Where's the grace of God? Come on. What about, well, now he's doing pretty good there. It's okay if he just tells you that being saved is the same as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen, what a loss. You want to grow up into all things in him in Christ Jesus? I do. Well, the only way you're going to come to a full knowledge of the truth is with the Holy Spirit. Got news for you. He told those disciples, I have many things to say unto you. He was with them for 3.5 years. Come on. But I can't. You can't understand them. But, boy, could you imagine him just leaving like that? Well, you can't understand him, and he walked away. You talk about crying and gnashing teeth. But he said, oh no, but he, the Spirit of truth, he's going to come. And he's going to comfort you like you've never been comforted before. Because he's going to take the things of mine, and he's going to make them yours. And just think, Jesus had to go away for that to happen. For us to really appreciate and to receive all those things, Jesus had to go to be at the right hand of the Father. I love that. I'm so thankful to God for that wonderful truth that we have. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Oh, how about, well, the entire church is the bride. Heir is heir. And heir does the one same thing all the time. It's lethal. And it is lethal. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And it does. I rejoice, however Christ is preached. But I treasure and know what we have. And this is what this is about. This brother Gaius made a stand. He walked in the truth. He loved the truth. And he made a stand for it. And the stand was, is he supported the truth. Praise God. It's evident. It's clear. It's right here. And just as brother Paul, at this last part of this verse, in 1 Corinthians 9:12, you might just mark that down. He didn't receive, remember when we studied that? He didn't receive support from the Gentiles, lest the gospel would be hindered. And I praise the Lord for that. See, they weren't out there trying to get money. They were there, they were sincere. Purity. This was the message of the Word of God that they were preaching, and they didn't want to interfere with that. So we'll wrap it up here with the 8th verse. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. Now, this is Gaius, and he received these sweet brothers and sisters. He welcomed them. He was made a fellow helper, it says here. Or a fellow laborer, if you will. This is the same word in the Greek that Brother Paul talks about, fellow laborer. There were only two brothers in the word that ever used this word in the Greek. And it was John one time. And it was Paul many times. Many times, many times. Well, okay, there's a point with this. Remember back in 2 John 11. And it said there, well, let's go ahead and read that. 2 John 11. For if he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, what this was really saying, and we talked about this. If I give this guy a place to stay, and I give him food, and I give him finances, and he preaches false doctrine, I have partaken in his evil works. It's exactly what that is saying. I have partaken in those evil works. Now let's go back and look at these words here, received. See, when we receive something, that means to take part of a thing. It means to hear or to learn. And if we are a fellow helper in a thing, it means we're working together, we're joining or helping in a work, we're a fellow workman, we're a helpmate, we are an accomplice. Brothers and sisters, what this is saying is we had better support the truth. Now, you know me. I'm not asking for your money. Let me tell you something. By the grace of God, and it is all by the grace of God, I know who to ask. I'm so thankful I know who to ask. I ask my Father. I ask Him for my home. I ask Him for the church. You know what? And I ask Him for you. Because you know what? I know who's all of our provider, and it's the same one. It's our Father. And He provides very well, perfectly, abundantly, exceedingly, exactly what we need and when we need it. And that's what our Father does always. So brothers and sisters, that's where we take it. And then we see here that, praise God, here we've got a brother that receives and is a fellow helper of those that are preaching the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And all I can say is praise be to God, because that sounds like a vessel to me. And if you remember the definition of a vessel, it's the wife that is a helper or an assistant to her husband. Can you imagine that? Now let's go put this in context as we close. Gaius was counted in the glory of these ministers. Did you hear that? He was counted in the glory of that ministry. And yet this brother never spoke a word. He didn't even get to speak to John. It was just a testimony that happened. But by merely providing, maybe it was housing, finances, maybe it was food, just to support them. But he wasn't supporting them. He was supporting the truth. You talk about unity of the Spirit. Here it is. It comes in all different forms. But the way that it really comes in is it stays with the stuff. It just stays with the stuff. And the beautiful thing here is, brothers and sisters, if we will settle down, really settle down, in the place that God has called us to, we will be blessed accordingly as well. This is His ministry. This is His ministry. As we enter in unity, and as we take our place in the body, and we have a little body here, I hope you know that. And as we take it and we give glory to God, the rejoicer, you will finish with a full joy. And you'll finish with a full reward. Isn't that marvelous? Just by taking the place that God has for you. Just for taking the place that God has for me. It is that simple. It is that simple. But I understand we're all in the flesh. I got this body. And I got an ego. And I've got my wants. And I know, God, you gave me these talents that need to be set on display. But if so, God chooses to put us in the body that's on the back part of my knee, or on the bottom part of my foot, where I'm never seen, is it worth it? Is it worth it, by the grace of God, when I go across that line with a full joy, with a full reward? And He says to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." What do you think? What do you think? Amen? Amen. Amen. And that is real. That is real. God help us to take our place. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You. We appreciate the patience and the time that You spend with us. And that is every moment. Thank You for drawing our hearts here this evening. Thank You for bringing us and drawing us here in Your love. We thank You for the love that's within Your vessels here this evening. We're so grateful to You. Lord, as the brother prayed, I believe that we are going to go out of here a changed person, changed more into the very image, changed more from glory to glory into the very image of You. Thank You, Jesus, for that opportunity. Help us to treasure these moments. We thank You, and God, help us to just grow more in Your grace and knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.